Fascism has become a term of general derision and rebuke. It is tossed casually in the direction of anything a critic happens to dislike. Even libertarians, themselves the epitome of anti-fascism, have been called fascists from time to time. But fascism is a real concept, not a stick with which to beat opponents arbitrarily. The abuse of this important word undermines its true value as a term referring to a very real phenomenon, and one whose spirit lives on. I describe the features of that system in chapters 2 and 4, but for now we may say this. The state, for the fascist, is the instrument by which the people's common destiny is realized, and in which the potential for greatness is to be found. Individual rights and the individual himself are strictly subordinate to the state's great and glorious goals for the nation. In foreign affairs, the fascist attitude is reflected in a belligerent chauvinism, a contempt for other peoples, and a society-wide reverence for soldiers and the martial virtues. The fascist takes his inspiration from the experience of war. During World War I, people from all over Italy, notwithstanding difference of region or dialect, found themselves joined together in a common enterprise. The war demonstrated what could be accomplished when people discarded their lesser allegiances and devoted themselves to the cause of the nation, which always means the national government. Socialists tried to pretend that fascism was simply the most developed, if also decrepit, stage of capitalism. But the fascists made their opposition to capitalism perfectly clear. For the dueling systems of capitalism and communism, they proposed to substitute a third way. The means of production would remain nominally in private hands, but the state would play a substantial role in production and allocation decisions.